when did you get involved with like ham radio and electronics and just that part of radio that you've been in all your life?
Well, that started in 1958 when I was 12 years old. The grade school that I was attending in Torrance, California was a brand new school, and one of the teachers there was a ham radio operator, and he started a radio club. And I took to that like nothing. The fellow's name was Larry Miller. Heck of a nice guy. He's still around. I run into him on the radio every once in a while. Wow. But I attended the class, learned Morse code, learned all the rules and regulations that a novice operator was supposed to do. And in June of that year, I took the test and passed it. And on the 3rd of July, 1958, the FCC issued me a ham radio novice license.
You are official.
I were official, 12 years old, and that got me started. At that stage of my life, I had zero money, so I was going through trash cans looking for old radios for parts and what have you, and I built my first transmitter in a little plastic sandwich box out of an article in Popular Electronics. That got me started, and it was pretty puny, and by that time, we'd moved to the San Fernando Valley. We were living on what had been an old chicken ranch in Canoga Park, and through...
So you were a California kid from day one.
Well, actually, I moved all over the country before that. My father was always chasing jobs. I was born in Oregon. We moved to Wilmington, Delaware for a year while he worked for DuPont, and then back to Corvallis, Oregon, where he was teaching at Oregon State, and then following the dream, we ended up in Monrovia, California, and then eventually in Torrance. And anyway, I progressed and moved up the ladder with the licenses and what have you. And by the time I went to college, I had what's called an amateur extra license, which was the highest grade you could get. I got that at age 14, if I remember correctly. I moved into the dorm at Oregon State. It was the first week, and we had a little get-together in the dorm, and the guy that had the room next to me was chatting with me, and I told him I was into amateur radio, and he says, "Well, I'm in professional radio. I am an announcer." Fellow's name was Rick Chase. He was a part-time DJ at KLOO in Corvallis, and I went down to the radio station with him one Saturday night, probably, and I was hooked. Mm-hmm. That was it. From then on, I had part-time jobs at local radio stations there. And when I got my electrical engineering degree, I went to work for the Gates Radio Company in Quincy, Illinois, in 1967.
67.
I was 21.
Yeah.
And I had a wonderful summer job before I graduated. I worked in Hollywood for an electrical contractor. And the way I got that job is a story in itself. I was, during that period of time, for four summers, involved doing a lot of studio work for the networks, because they were going from black and white to color. Mm-hmm. And back then, color cameras took an incredible amount of light, so they had to replace the old black and white lighting systems. And I sat in on high-level meetings with ABC and CBS executives that I look back and say, wow, I was fortunate. Wow.
Especially at that age.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was 18, 19 years old sitting in on some of these movies. And Fishback even flew me to Dallas to their systems division one time to help put together a bid.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wait for them to pass. The job at Fishback got me in touch with the Gates Radio Company, because Gates needed somebody to install radio studio equipment that was being manufactured by them in Quincy that had been purchased for KABC in Los Angeles. And I became, because I'd worked part-time at a radio station in Corvallis, Oregon, I was the radio expert.
You knew what a console was.
Yes, I did.
For people to know, Gates Radio was the premier, number one broadcast manufacturer of equipment and transmitters.
Yeah, even...
There were a few others, RCA and Collins and whatnot.
Yeah, there was the so-called Big Three, but Gates was far and away the biggest of the bunch, being based in Quincy, Illinois, of all places. It's kind of the end of the earth, and moving there as a 21-year-old guy who'd never lived more than 50 miles from the Pacific Ocean was quite a shock to my system, because in 1967 there weren't no Walmart and there they didn't even have a McDonald's in that town. So
and surfing on the Mississippi probably wasn't.
I actually did a little bit of that. lots of beer was involved, but
anyway, that was the time.
Yeah,
and you were of the age.
Oh yes. Anyway, I worked in design engineering for a couple of years. It wasn't my cup of tea.